So we're going to start looking at Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. But the title of this message is called A Life-Changing Encounter. A Life-Changing Encounter. How many of you understand that anybody in history, anybody in the Scriptures who ever did anything, you know, that was amazing, that was powerful, that transcended history, you know, had a life-changing encounter with God? There's just no way around that. Something happens when you meet God, you have an encounter with Him, and I'm talking about where He actually shows up face to face, though some of them have had that, like Moses. And he doesn't appear to many people, but sometimes He does. It's very rare. I've never heard His voice audibly, but He's as real to me as any of you guys, or even more. Amen? I love Him more. Don't take me wrong. Love Him more than I love you guys. It just is the way, because the Bible tells me that He is to be number one in my life. All right, but I had an encounter with Him. But when you have an encounter with Him, your perspective changes, your direction changes. You know, you're changed from the inside out. You know, one single word that God speaks is better than a year worth of going to church. You understand what I'm trying to tell you? When God just speaks to your heart directly, however it is, audibly or just into as an impression in your heart, it'll change you forever. So we don't need religion. We need an encounter with the living God. Amen. So that's what I want to talk about today. So Exodus chapter 3 verses 1 through 6 says, one day Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. This is amazing, Moses said to himself. Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go see it. When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush, Moses, Moses. Here I am. Moses replied, do not come any closer, the Lord warned. Take off your sandals, which by the way, that's a sign of surrender. For you are standing on holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And when Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. God wants to have an encounter with each of us, with each of you. And like I said, it's not coming to church. It's not volunteering, giving our tithes and offerings. You know, it cannot take the place of a life that's in communion with the living God. Amen. An encounter of God, like I said, is worth a lifetime of religious activities. Some people go to church all their life and never have an encounter with God. And that is sad. That is tragic. God not only wants a relationship with Moses here, but He had a plan for Moses' life, one that would change the course of history for an entire nation. And even so, we're still talking about Moses and the effect. He is considered by Israel, by the Hebrews, by Jews, you know, the greatest prophet of Israel. He's responsible for the Torah, which means it's a continuous scroll of the first five books of the Bible, or the Pentateuch, as we know, the first five bound books, you know, of the Scriptures. But Moses first needed to have a life-changing encounter with God. Let's remember that he was a Hebrew. And he had a miraculous situation in his life where the Pharaoh wanted to exterminate all of the children of Israel. So he had told all the women that would help give birth, you know, give mothers giving birth, you know, and told them, hey, you know, if it's a boy, kill him. But they were too afraid of God. They wouldn't do that. And then they said, well, every time there's a baby boy born, throw him into the Nile River. And so many children were killed. And we know that God spared Moses. You know, his mother put him in a little basket, you know, in the river and hidden away, and somehow ended up where Pharaoh's daughter could see it. And then she asked, hey, I need somebody to help me raise this child. And it just so happened to be that it was Moses' mother. How awesome. Hallelujah. And then, you know, once he was weaned, he grew up in the palace and learned the customs of the Egyptians, but he always knew he was a Hebrew. He knew there was something different about him. And God has put dreams inside of all of us. Even before you were a believer, He was already watching over you. He was putting certain desires, certain personality traits, you know, things that are passionate to you that other people would say, that's nuts, you know. But it's because God wired you that way. But that dream, that passion cannot be activated until you have an encounter with God. So that's what happened with him. He one day saw an Egyptian mistreating a Hebrew. So it says that he went and killed him. And then he tried to hide him away, but it all came out into the light. And then the Pharaoh said, we're going to kill Moses. So it says that Moses fled into the wilderness, into the desert, and ended up near where Jethro, the priest of Midian, lived with his daughters. And it says he ended up there and was there for 40 years. He married, you know, one of them, one of the daughters, and served Jethro, this priest, away from his ultimate calling. He was so far in left field, if you want to say it that way, from what God had called him to do. So an encounter was needed to get him to where he needed to be. And I want to tell you that all of us here need an encounter with God. And yes, we have retreats. We call them encounter with a purpose because it's a special situation where we go away for, you know, 2 to 3 days and God just meets us there in a powerful way. An encounter is not a one-time deal. You will have many encounters during your Christian walk and they all have different purposes. The first encounter you need to have is the encounter of salvation. Amen. You need to have an encounter where you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Maybe an encounter where God shows you what you're going to do as your ministry, as a way to serve Him. But we all need encounters, and they come often as we allow God to do it. Amen. So when God sets up Moses through the burning bush, it got his attention, and God wants to get his attention. How many understand that even this quarantine has been kind of an encounter? You know, it's like, man, all the things that seemed important to you before, all of a sudden they're not as important. It's like there's matters at hand that are more important. So God is setting you up to meet with you so that He can transform you and transform your family, transform our church, and ultimately transform the nations of the world. I want to tell you that Moses was 80 years old. He was working for his father-in-law. He didn't have his own land or sheep. Come on, you're 80 years old and you're still serving your father-in-law. You don't even have your own sheep. You know, so that would seem pretty pathetic. You know, Moses is not having maybe the life that he dreamt of. He lived in the palace of the greatest nation in the world, and now he's out there serving a guy, you know, feeding sheep by himself. I'm sure he's looking under stuff thinking, what am I doing with my life? And it says that he had taken it to heart so badly that he couldn't speak very well. It says he was stuttered. When God was arguing with him, you know, hey, I'm calling you to go to Egypt. He's like, well, God, I'm not good at speaking. It says, I get tongue-tied. I stuttered, you know, but God says, no, you're still the guy I picked. You know, and some of us may have an excuse as to why we don't want to go, but I want to tell you that God is greater than your deficiency. God is greater than your excuse. God is greater than anything you think that's holding you back. God is greater. Amen. When God has His eye on you, you're in trouble. In a good way. Oh, God's going to get... But He can do it the easy way or He can do it the hard way. So I want to ask you, do it the easy way. Do it the easy way. It says that you can fall on the rock or the rock can fall on you. I would rather fall on the rock, which is Jesus Christ. You know, I don't want to be crushed. I mean, and He does have to break us to use us, but I'd rather do it the easier way. Amen? So, God is setting us up for an encounter. And this is the way He started speaking to me about this. The quarantine caused for many people to have a pause button on their life. It's like driving with a parking brake on. It's almost like a glazed look in your eyes. Like, when is this going to end? You're like a zombie. It's just not good. And so when this people were slaves in Egypt, this is the way that God told Moses to speak about it. He says, well, what shall I tell Pharaoh? He says, tell him you're going to go on a 2 to 3 day journey into the wilderness to worship me. Actually, a 3 day journey. So think, reminiscent to the encounter retreats that we do. But it says, I'm going to take you, and then something's going to happen. And I believe that God would begin to say to me, what's going to happen on the weekend that the Andersons are going to come is going to just set our church ablaze. It's going to really get people kickstarted that have been stalling, that have that parking brake on. God is going to set you free. And I'm not saying that God is not going to do it today. He can do it at any time. But I believe it's going to be a special corporate time for a church to be thrust to what God's going to do. I'm excited in my spirit. The impressions I have in my spirit, the prophetic in me is saying we're at the threshold of something amazing. We're starting to see it. People are coming to the Lord. Hallelujah. We've had salvations every Sunday. We've had, you know, at least one person come every Sunday that's new. And it's great to have you here. So you're our only guy today. So great to have you. You know, that's all right. You're extra special today. We're going to focus on you. Everybody just swarm him afterwards. Just, yeah. See what he looks like. Make him take his mask off. I don't know what he looks like. Anyway, my point number one in my message, you need a face-to-face encounter with God. You don't just need salvation. You need a face-to-face encounter, something to just set you ablaze. Hallelujah. The people of Israel were led out of Egypt after God's mighty display of power. If you remember, there was 10 plagues that hit Egypt while the Hebrews were protected. Did you hear that? There was 10 plagues that hit Egypt, but the Hebrews were protected in a place called Goshen. And by the first by Goshen and then by the blood of the Passover lamb that protected them. Hallelujah. And we have seen God's hand. You know, as we have prayed against COVID, against it, you know, we haven't had anybody go down in this congregation. We've been meeting since May 31st. And I'm not believing, oh, it's just because it's Cochise County. I'm believing because of the prayers of the saints. God has called us to do a work. And He's going to protect us because we're His investment into this world. We're the ones that are carrying the hope. Who's going to preach if we don't do it? The Bible says, you know, how will they go if nobody sends them? How will they hear if nobody's preaching? God has told us this is a time to get bold. You know, if God's telling you to lay hands on somebody, you better lay hands on that person. You better get up and close and pray for them. You know, I'm respectful to people, but when God puts in my heart, hey, you need to do it, you better do it. Because that's how they're going to be set free. God is the God of healings. He's the God of the supernatural. And COVID is nothing compared to God. This is a lie of the enemy from the pit of hell. So like just those 10 plagues didn't touch the children of Israel. He kept them protected all that time. Hallelujah. And it says there that Pharaoh let them go, and there were approximately 2.4 million Israelites by the estimates. And then Pharaoh chased them. He says, oh, you know, anytime somebody gives their life to the Lord, here comes your old past. Your life is chasing you down. It's like, where are you going? I had you for so long. You know, it's like that ex, you know, just, just keeps calling and texting. You know, I hope nobody has that. You know, it's like, look, I'm done with you, right? Hallelujah. And then you get married. And it's like, you know, you cross through the Red Sea and then it's over, right? The Red Sea, when they cross through there by the parting of the Red Sea, that's representative of baptism. And everybody has to be baptized. Jesus told us that we should all be baptized. Mark 16 says, those that believe and are baptized will be saved. It's the natural progression. You don't get baptized first and then get saved. No, you get saved, and then as a way of obedience, you get baptized in water. That's what you do. So that's represented here in crossing the Red Sea. Hallelujah. But just because they left Egypt doesn't mean they weren't still bound in their hearts and minds. You've heard about that. They still had that slave mentality. They were tied up in their thinking. And there are many believers who are still walking around with all hang-ups, sins, temptations, stinking thinking, just, you know, reliving all things. Even though you've given your life to Jesus, the old life is continually drawn into you. And the only thing that can set you free is an encounter with the living God. Hallelujah. Let's look at Exodus 16, verses 1 through 3. It says, then the whole community of Israel set out from Elim and journeyed into the wilderness of Sin between Elim and Mount Sinai. They arrived there on the 15th day of the second month, 1 month after leaving the land of Egypt. There too, the whole community of Israel complained about Moses and Aaron. Come on. They just got set free from being slaves for 400 plus years. And the first chance they get, the first difficulty they have, and many believers have that. You know, even Jesus talked about this. Says that, hey, the seed falls in four kinds of soil. One of the kinds of soil represents trials and tribulations that come to the believer. And all of a sudden, I don't know if I want this Christian life. This is too hard. Even though you've just been spared from hell and you're going to heaven, your eyes begin to be deflected to the trials and tribulations. And that's what happened here. Here verse 2 says, there too the whole community of Israel complained about Moses and Aaron. If only the Lord had killed us back in Egypt. Oh, it would be better than not, you know, being thirsty here in the desert, they moaned. There we sat around pots filled with meat and ate all the bread we wanted. But now you have brought us into this wilderness to starve us all to death. They have forgotten that, wait a second, weren't you working all day long, you know, making bricks and doing, you know, being whipped, and, you know, they would tell you when and how to eat. You know, sometimes we forget and we complain, but an encounter with God can set us free. Hallelujah. They were free from Pharaoh, but not free in their minds. They did not yet know God personally, and with every trial, they wished they could go back. It's like Lazarus when he was resurrected. Jesus said, Lazarus, come out from there, right? But it says there that he still had his grave clothes on. He was like, you know, he's like coming out of the grave. He was like, he can't get very far, right? So he told the disciples, go and set him free. And that's what we do at those encounter retreats. We lay hands on people. We talk about repentance. We talk about forgiveness. We talk about deliverance. We talk about the cross in detail. You know, so you have that true repentance and connection with God. And I'm telling you, anybody been to an encounter retreat, you know, how powerful are they? You know, come on. Yes, they're just powerful. We're going to have another one, you know, early next year. We had one early in the year. We've been having them once a year. And hopefully we can do them more often in the future. But God doesn't need a retreat to meet you. He can meet you here today. Hallelujah. And I believe that God means business this very day. He wants to take the grave clothes off of you, those things that have been so easily, you know, besetting you, just the tethers to this world. But see, I'm telling you, God wants to launch you into the greatest adventure you've ever been on. Hallelujah. This year, I left my job. I'm full-time in the ministry. And man, I'm so excited. I can't believe I get paid to do what I love. It's an amazing feeling. Hallelujah. It's truly amazing. I didn't think, oh yeah, I had to come and do the landscaping. No, I had so much fun yesterday. Come on, didn't we have a lot of fun yesterday? Yeah, and we had burritos. Come on, there it is, my food reference. You can't have good fellowship without good food. It's just... Point number two, you're never the same after an encounter with God. Isaiah 43:1 says, but now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. Notice that it's calling him, oh, Jacob. Jacob is kind of like nowadays when they call you by your first and middle name, it's like you're in trouble. It's like, you know, I don't have a middle name, so I don't know. You know, they'll probably call me by my two last names. Eric Yabazino Hosa, come here, you know. Yes, I have two very long last names. It says, oh, Israel, the one who formed you says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you have an encounter, is God's looking to you and says, hey, you're no longer Jacob. You are Israel. I'm changing you forever. And just in case you didn't know that, I formed you, I designed you, and you are mine. Tell the person next to you, you are not your own. You belong to God. You may not like it yet, but it's good. It's good for you. So when we hear these names, Jacob and Israel, you know, they're the same person. But Jacob was before the encounter. Israel was after the encounter. It's referring to a nation, but also a man named Jacob who had an encounter with God. And Jacob means supplanter. Oh, the twin brother of Esau, and who swindled his brother of his firstborn rights. I don't know if you know that story. It's in Genesis. He was already blessed by God. God had told him, you're going to be the leader of this nation. And from you will come, you know, Jesus eventually. It was the same promise that had been given to Abraham. It says, in your family, through you all the families of the earth will be blessed. How was that fulfilled? Is when Jesus, you know, came from the loins of Abraham, every single family of the world has been blessed. Amen? Hallelujah. So, He was already blessed. He says, because you're going to be the leader, I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to prosper you financially. I'm going to give you a lot of children. You know, wherever you go, people are just going to give you stuff. That's called favor. Anybody have been favor where you're like, people just bless me? You know, the other day I walked into Taco Yero, and I went to share some scriptures with a guy in there, you know, and then somebody says, hey, I'm here to give away some phone cases. Do you have an iPhone 10 case? I'm telling you, they gave me a very nice phone case for free, just being at the right place at the right time. You know, I call that favor. Some of my people may call it coincidence, but I am blessed all the time. I went to get a haircut yesterday. I encouraged the person that cut my hair the whole time. And as soon as we got done, she goes, you don't owe me anything. Let me just, please give you a tip. No, let me bless you. I say, well, I know she is going to be blessed, you know, because she has blessed me. So I'm telling you, God's favor is upon my life, and it's upon all His children. We just got to get out of the way so He can bless us. Hallelujah. So God was setting him up. He had been working for his uncle Laban. He married his cousins, Leah and Rachel. Sounds kind of weird, but the Bible doesn't say anything about marrying your cousin. He had concubines as well, and with them he had a total of 12 children. And God allowed for there to be some friction between his uncle and him. His flocks began to prosper. He was still kind of a swindler. The problem with a person that has not had an encounter with God is that while you're already blessed, you still want to manipulate the blessing. You think, I have to fend for myself. I have to make things happen. I have to talk bad about my boss. I have to cut off this other coworker so that I can get the job. I can, you know, just set myself up, prop myself up with this and that. And you don't know, you're already blessed. And God is already watching over you. And God's like, I'm trying to bless you, but you continue to do things for yourself. And the moment you say, you know what, God? Do it your way. It's like, boom. Here comes the blessing. Here comes the favor. So that's what we need to do. But that comes by having an encounter with Him, because it's our nature. That's what we were taught. You know, cause and effect. You know, if you want something, you have to work hard enough at it. Well, I'm telling you, when you are blessed, the Bible says that, you know, for the people that went into the promised land, it says, you're going to inhabit places that you didn't fight for. It says they showed up at the Canaan, and there was all these houses already built, and there was nobody living there. It says they even took out all the wasps and the wild animals. So they wouldn't, you know, give you troubles. Like, hey, they're gone. That's favor. That's God's provision for your life. Amen? I'm telling you, I was not born in this country. I was born in Central Mexico. Didn't speak any English. And I don't know, when I came here, the favor of God was all over me. I kept getting just blessings at school. I was a student of the month constantly. The teachers just loved me. I got free scholarships to while I was still in high school. And just everywhere I went, just blessing, blessing, blessing. And I can tell you that it's not because I'm that smart or special or good looking, except maybe to my wife. right, Amor? Yes, thank you. I am blessed. That gave me somebody who thinks I'm good looking. Yeah. Hallelujah. God set me free. God set me free. I used to try to manipulate things. I used to be that guy. I didn't know I was already blessed. Anyway, I forgot where I was going with that, so I'm just going to move on. Genesis 32, verses 22-31. I'm going to read this quickly. It says, that night, Jacob got up and took his two wives. So remember, God is setting him up. He's in trouble with his uncle. His brother had told him he was going to kill him. He says, oh, I can't believe you stole my firstborn rights, and now you're going to be the leader of our clan. So he said, I'm going to kill you. And that's when Jacob flees to live with his uncle for like at least 14 years, however long he was out there. And so he's like, okay, he's between a rock and a hard place, right? He's got Laban over here chasing him. He's got Esau over here chasing him. Laban catches up with him, but he says, ooh, I was going to smite you, but God told me to leave you alone because you are blessed. There it is. God's blessing, right? He's like, okay, one problem taken care of. He's like, but I still got my brother Esau ahead of me. So he starts to manipulate things. He's like, okay, let's break up the whole group into three groups, and we'll have gifts with each group. The wife and concubines that I don't really like, they'll go in the first group, and the wife that I like better will be in the middle group. You know, actually, no, there'll be another group, and then there'll be... that wife that I really like, and my kids that I really like will be in my group in the back. And we'll slowly appease him. You know, he's got this whole plan. And so right before he has to realize his plan, you know, that night, God has him cross over this river, and then he has an encounter with God. And then everything changes. And so let's read about this. During the night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the fjord of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. Hallelujah. There's his encounter. We're going to see how that's an encounter with God. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, hallelujah, oh, God wants to break us. He touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with that man. With the man. When the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak," but Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." Hallelujah. The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask me my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called that place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." And the sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. And let me just, to close the story, when he met up with Esau, Esau was like, "God's blessed me so much, I'm good. God's appeased me. I don't have a quarrel with you anymore." That's God's favor. It was all over Jacob. Now his name is Israel. So let me point out some things out here of this story. First, there's a setup. Everybody say setup. God begins to move circumstances in order for you to have an encounter with him. And all of a sudden, you can see him clearly and you are changed forever. Do you understand that? God is setting us up at times. And sometimes we wriggle ourselves out of that situation. One of the things that I said to this young lady, I hope she's not listening, is that God puts us sometimes in a place, let's say you have a bad boss. "Oh, that guy hates me. You know, I don't want to work it anymore." But if you don't listen to what God's saying, God may say, "I took you there so that, you know, I could work on your character. So you just stay put right there and write it out." And, you know, and once you've learned that lesson, God will move you, you know, will either move you out, move them out, or you'll become friends. You know, something will happen in that relationship. But sometimes we wiggle ourselves out of where God has us, the setup. Amen? You got to know where God is doing in your life. Don't get out. Always ask God, "God, why is this happening?" Because you may think, "Oh, I must be completely away from God's will." And you may be in the middle of, in the center of God's will, even in that difficulty. Are you understanding that? Jacob was right in the middle where God wanted him. He was being set up in that situation. It says that he wrestled with a man whom we know later in this story is a Christophany. That means an Old Testament appearance of God in bodily form. And so it says that he wrestled. This speaks of proximity. You need to be, God wants you to be close to him. He wants you to cling to him. You know, wrestling, I mean, you're getting down and dirty with God. You know, you didn't just talk about, "Oh, you know, like you see in the Bible, your God." No, my God, I know him. The Bible says that whoever knows God, it says, they will do great exploits. You need to know God intimately, and that comes with an encounter with God. He wants you to draw near to him. He wants to wrestle some things you're holding on to. Wrestle them out of your hand. Hallelujah. For you to stop controlling certain situations, manipulating situations. God, Jacob was already blessed, but wanted to be blessed. Come on, sometimes we forget God is already in the midst of us. God had watched him and protected him and prospered him. But at that moment, he's like, "Okay, God, what are you trying to do?" So he clings to God. And he says he's overpowered by God. A realization that once again, like that psalm says, we don't belong to ourselves. We're sheep of his pastures. I belong to him. And God, whatever you want to do with me is fine. Whatever you want to do with me is fine. You know, if you're going to do great things for God, you need to come to a place of full surrender. I don't care if I never have this thing that I thought would be the greatest thing in life. You know, oh, you know, maybe your dream was to have this mansion or to, you know, travel the world, you know. And you just, it's the point where you say, "You know what, God, I don't care if I never leave this little town. I want to be in the center of your will. I want to do everything you called me to do. I don't want to get to heaven and think that I missed out on something that you wanted for me. I'd rather be popular with God than be popular with man." Amen? And that's what I want for you, but that comes through an encounter with the living God. So Jacob decides to cling to God. And then what's the sign? He says, I'm going to change you forever. I'm going to change your name. You're no longer Jacob, the supplanter, the manipulator. Now you're Israel. You're a prince of God. And the name actually means God prevails. God prevails. Hallelujah. God prevails in your life. Now God is king. God is Lord in your life. So it says that he also touched his hip and went out of the socket. And it says that he limped for the rest of his days. When you have an encounter with God, you're never the same. You're never the same. You speak differently. You think differently. And the direction of your life changes completely. And I believe some of you are out of alignment. You're not where God wants you because you continue to fight him. And as God says, I'm going to wrestle with you. You know, the Bible says that many are called, but few are chosen. Some people, it's like God gives you a choice. I want to do this thing in your life, but you keep wrestling yourself away. But some people, like Moses, like, you don't got a choice. When I put my eye on you, I'm going to do it one way or the other because I need you to get this. I don't know why God does that sometimes. He just chooses certain men in history, and they don't have much of a choice. They can't wiggle themselves out of God's will. They will do it, you know, at a certain point in time. Like Jonah. Jonah, I want you to go talk to Nineveh. No, I'm going the opposite direction. I'm going to get on a ship and go, you know, go west, young man. You know, he says, and God's like, okay. Storms, you know, they throw him overboard, gets swallowed by a fish, right? Ends up on shore after 3 days, right? He has an encounter with God, and you can read it in that very short book, 4 chapters. And it says, okay, I better go to Nineveh. You know, he wasn't fully changed, but he was a little more docile at that point. It's like, okay, I think I'll do it your way, God, you know. And so he goes, and guess what? Mighty revival in Nineveh of the Assyrians. That happened. Hallelujah. So we are marked forever. Like I said, we read in Isaiah 43:1, I am the one who formed you, and you are mine. You're not here by mistake. You're not here by coincidence. Some of you believe, you know, I just happened. I've stumbled into life. God has had his eye on you. You're not here by mistake. If you're here for the first time or the second time or the umpteenth time, I'm telling you, God means business with you. And I know the Holy Spirit is speaking into your heart that this is the word of the Lord for you today. And God is saying, I need you to get enlisted in my army. There's things that I want to do through you and your family and your marriage. So surrender. Let God prevail in your life. And my last point, point number 3, God has prepared multiple encounters for you along the way. At different stages in your life, God's going to continue to set up meetings with us in order to deal with us. Just when we think, okay, I've gone so far with God, I've learned every lesson, God's like, well, here's another layer, you know, yep. And he goes deeper and deeper into our motivations, deeper and deeper into our makeup, and he begins to see us, show us how dark we are without him. Any of you ever seen that? You thought you'd gone so far? And then God will say, let me remove myself from the picture just to say, so you can see yourself without me. And you're like, oh God, that's scary. Don't do that. You know, come back, come back. You know, I've had some very evil thoughts go through my mind. I go, where did that come from? You know? And so I know God's still dealing with me. I know he's still dealing with you. Peter, if you remember in the scriptures, had a big calling. But he was still very impulsive, kind of a proud guy. You know, I'll be right there with you. When you suffer, I'll die with you, Jesus. I said, well, I'll tell you the truth. You know, you're going to deny me 3 times before the rooster crows, right? And he was confident probably in his own abilities. You know, we know he cut off the ear of Malchus, you know, the night that Jesus was betrayed. He's like, no, I'll protect you, Jesus. You know, we're trying to do things in our flesh rather than in the Spirit of God. And so God needs to have an encounter with him, and at first he had to break him through the denial. That was God's way of bringing kind of like a temporary failure to him. And some of us sometimes God allows temporary failures in our lives as part of our setup so we can look up and say, what happened? And so we know that Peter was pretty dejected. He was like, okay, God. So I don't know what to do anymore. It says that all of them deserted Jesus at one point. Well, Jesus was crucified, and like, well, he's dead. I don't know. And so he doesn't know if he's, maybe he misread God. Maybe he's not the guy to do this anymore. So he says he goes back to fishing. He went back to his old ways a little bit. He's like, well, I'll go back to what I know. I'm a fisherman, right? And then he was always a leader. So the other one said, yeah, we'll go with you too. A bunch of disciples went with him too. Let's go fishing, right? And so at the first time that he met Jesus in the Sea of Galilee, where he said, "Hey, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." That was like the salvation moment. But this was an encounter. But this is another encounter, and it says that they're fishing, and Jesus comes to the shore of the Sea of Galilee, right? This is in John chapter 21, and we're going to read a little bit about this. And Jesus yelled out to him, and Peter's like, "Who is that?" "It's Jesus, resurrected Jesus." So come on over here. And it says that Peter was like, "Oh, it's the master." They were trying to row ashore, and he jumped out of the boat. He's like, "No, I'm getting there quicker." And so Jesus prepares breakfast for Peter and the other disciples. But then he has that confrontation to heal him. John 21, verses 15, 18, it says, "After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' 'Yes, Lord,' Peter replied, 'you know I love you.' 'Then feed my lambs.'" He's restoring his purpose. "You denied me three times. I'm going to ask you this three times." Jesus repeated this question. "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," Peter said. "You know I love you. Then take care of my sheep." Jesus said a third time, he asked them, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was like, "Ouch, that hurt. Why do you keep asking me that?" Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, "Lord, you know everything." That shows just surrender. You know me better than I know myself. You know I love you. Maybe I could love you better. And I think all of us can say it that way. I know I could love you better, but I need your help, Jesus. Then feed my sheep. And then he says this to him, "I tell you the truth, when you were young, you were able to do as you liked. You dressed yourself and went wherever you wanted to go. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hand and others will dress you and take you where you don't want to go." And that's to say, you're going to live for me, and there will be some suffering involved, but you're going to do it willingly because you love me. So Peter needed an encounter. An encounter was needed so he would be ready to be one of the leaders of the mighty revival. Just a few days later, Pentecost hit, right? And it says that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And the same Peter that denied Jesus now finds himself, preaching to 3,000 people at least, and they gave their lives to the Lord. It says they were cut through the heart. The anointing of God was working so powerfully in Peter's life that all these Jews from different nations, surrendered that day. And it says they were baptized. And the church began. So God was getting his Peter ready, for this mighty move of God. And he needs to get you ready for the mighty move of God. So stop, wiggling yourself out of what God's trying to do in your life. Stop complaining and say, "God, I am yours. I belong to you. I will go wherever you want me to go. I'll do whatever you want me to do." So some of you are stuck like Peter, and you need an encounter today. God is preparing us for the next season. Let's stand up. I don't know where God has you this morning, but I know this God loves you very much. And his plans for you are way bigger than you think. Way bigger than you think. Don't discount yourself. You're like, "I don't know how to talk. I'm not smart enough. I'm not big enough. I don't have money. I don't have this and that. You know what kind of debt I have. I've had divorces. You can throw out any excuse you can. I've killed a person." That was Moses. "I've killed people." There's nothing that can disqualify you from God's love. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever will believe, anything is possible. The Bible says, if you will only believe. If you will believe. And I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to you that he loves you very much and that he means business with you. But it's time to surrender your life to him. There's some people that have been Christians for a while and they still manipulate the blessing. God is saying, "I'm yours. I love you. I formed you, and I'm going to use you. Stop fighting me. Stop fighting me." Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. I just want to challenge you a little bit. This is for believers If there's anybody here, you say, you know what, this message was for me. Would you raise your hand? I see some hands across the room. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And you're dealing with hearts. Hallelujah. I want to pray for you. Let's do it God's way. I want to bless you. You say this was for me. Would you raise your hands to heaven? Lord God, in Jesus' name, I pray that you would do what you said you would do, Lord God, Father. You said, make me an altar and I will abide in the midst of them, Lord God. Even as people are surrendering and making an altar in their hearts, I pray that you would just come and meet them, Lord God, and encounter them and begin to wash away, Lord God, Father. Father, that the pain maybe of circumstances they thought were going south, Lord God, but they didn't know that it was a setup from God to bring them near to you, Lord God, Father. Places of failure like Moses, where he was trying to do the right things, but he messed up. He ended up killing an Egyptian, and then 40 years later, he finds himself, Lord God, so far away from where he thinks that you are, Lord God. But I thank you, God, that there's nowhere that we can go to escape you, Lord God, that you see what we do every day, Lord God, and you love us and you're awaiting us. But I pray, oh God, for someone today, Lord God, that will fully surrender to you, Lord God, their lives and say, I no longer belong to myself. Like Jacob say, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. I'm not going to let you go until you bless me, God. I need you. I need you, God. I don't need money. I don't need fame. I don't need this or that. What I need is you, Lord God. You're the living God. I need you, God. I need you, God. So I surrender this day, Lord God. In Jesus' name I pray, Holy Spirit, come upon them, Lord God. Bless them, Lord God. Father, wash over them, Lord God. Begin to bring them into alignment. Begin to show them their purpose. Begin to show them the places they're to go, Lord God, Father. Hallelujah. Begin to show them the dreams and visions that you have for their lives, Lord God, even as they surrender today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And I want to speak to someone here who has not surrendered to Jesus, that's not made him their Lord and Savior. You need to have an encounter with Jesus as your Savior first of all. Hallelujah. That's where the relationship begins. It's not about religion, it's about relationship. If this is you, with every head bowed, every eye closed, I want you to be bold right now and raise your hand to heaven if you want to start a relationship with Jesus. Is there anyone in this place? Raise it high so I can see it. I see a hand. Thank you. I see another hand. Thank you. I see another hand. Thank you, Jesus. I see another hand. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Is there anyone else? I want to pray with you. Hallelujah. People are returning to Jesus today. They're coming into relationship to Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. I want everyone to pray this prayer with me. This is a simple prayer. I just want to guide you in it. Say, Father, I thank you that you love me, that you never gave up on me, but you made a way for me to return to you. Thank you for Jesus dying on the cross and paying for all my sin and my pain and my shame. I receive you this day as my Lord, as my Savior. I say I belong to you forevermore. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Oh, fill me with your life. I want to live for you. I want to do things your way, oh God. I am yours. I am yours. I am yours. And I thank you for what you've done. Oh, hallelujah. I will not let you go until you bless me, God. Hallelujah. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Come on, let's give a big hand to Jesus and for all those that pray this prayer this day.